Today, my dear faithful, is the 26th Sunday after Pentecost and is the last Sunday. So next Sunday will be the beginning of Advent. Now, the epistle is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1. Brethren, we cease not to pray for you and to beg that you may be filled with the knowledge of the will of God in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of God in all things pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the power of his glory, in all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 24. When you shall see the abomination of desolation, which is spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, he that readeth, let him understand. Then they that are in Judea, let them flee to the mountains, and he that is on the housetop, let him not come down to take anything out of his house. And he that is in the field, let him not go back to take his coat. And woe to them that are with child, and that give suck in those days. But pray that your child be not in the winter or on the Sabbath. For there shall be then great tribulation, such as hath not been from the beginning of the world until now, neither shall be. And unless those days had been shortened, no flesh should be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say to you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, do not believe him. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch as to deceive, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told it to you beforehand. If therefore they shall say to you, Behold, he is in the desert, go ye not out. Behold, he is in the closet, believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east, and appeareth even into the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Wheresoever the body shall be, there shall the angels, the eagles, also be gathered. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be moved. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. And he shall send his angels with a trumpet and a great voice, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest parts of the heavens to the utmost bounds of them. And from the fig tree learn a parable. When the branch thereof is now tender, and the leaves come forth, you know that summer is nigh. So you also, when you shall see all those things, know ye that it is nigh, even at the doors. Amen, I say to you, that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass, but my words shall not pass. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all tribes of the earth mourn. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's Gospel, my dear faithful, contains a terrifying scene. In this Gospel, our Lord prophesied the end of the world. False prophets and false Christ shall come to lead the faithful astray. They will come teaching new doctrines, even working great wonders. That is, what would appear to be miracles. Wars and rumors of wars, along with natural disasters of all kinds, shall cover the earth. And this is just the beginning of sorrows that will precede the end of the world. For then the abomination of desolations will stand in the holy place. Following after, the faithful will be persecuted for the faith, until finally the end will come, the end of our present world. The sun, moon, and stars will fail, and the Son of Man, our Lord himself, coming in the clouds of heaven with much power and majesty. This will be when the general judgment will take place. There, each of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Our entire lives will be laid bare before all mankind. Each of us will answer for every action, every word, and every thought, every moment of our lives. And before that judge, we will have no excuses, no explanations, and no appeal. The final sentence will be passed, and we will spend all eternity with the blessed in heaven. Or, God forbid, should anyone here lose their soul, they will spend all eternity with the reprobate in the unquenching fires of hell. Today, my dear faithful, the Church would remind us of the judgment to come, to thereby give us a holy fear of the Lord. However, this fear is often misunderstood, especially in today's world. You see, I especially know this myself because at one time, a non-Catholic friend of mine played a song for me. And at first, like most people, I listened only to the melody, so I did enjoy it. The sound of it was relaxing, but then after I listened to it a few more times, I started listening to the words of the song, and they were anything but that. The song recounted the singer's apostasy from the Catholic Church and how he scorned the idea of the next life. You see, as the song went, this young man was born and raised Catholic. His parents sent him to Catholic school, where he was taught by religious sisters. During one of his classes, his teacher explained to the class that a true love for God includes a filial fear. Now, filial fear is the fear a child has of offending his parents. The song continued telling the story how the young man fled from the school and never looked back. What the singer really meant by that line was that he rejected this teaching of the Church, so he left not only the school, but apostatized from the faith. He then spent his life earning a living and even becoming at least somewhat famous, writing songs contrary to the faith, the Church, and God himself. The gift of the fear of the Lord, that is what this young man did not understand. Fear of the Lord is a gift of the Holy Ghost, which, as the Baltimore Catechism tells us, fills us with a dread of sin on account of the goodness of God and the punishment he can inflict. What the singer could not understand was, how does this dread of sin play a role in a Catholic life when charity or love of God is the heart of our Catholic faith and the practice of it? It is true, we are to have a dread of sin. What first comes to mind is to fear sin on account of the punishment that will follow. As the Gospel points out, one unrepentant mortal sin earns the eternal punishment of hell, eternal sorrow, misery, and pain. That is something to fear. Our Lord himself, our merciful Savior, who came to deliver us from hell and lead us to heaven throughout his public life, he actually spoke more often of hell than he did of heaven. Why did he do that, our loving Savior? It is because of our indifference, our lack of care, even in the matter of the salvation of our eternal souls. The fear of hell fire at times is what we need to wake us back up to the whole purpose of our life. But of course, that fear is not what God really wants. Our Lord does not want us just to fear hell, so much as fear offending him because we love him. That is the filial fear that is part of love. To show us what sin does to him, he revealed to mankind through St. Margaret Mary his most sacred heart. Each part of the Sacred Heart has its own symbolism. The flames bursting forth symbolizes his love for us. And so great is it that his human heart cannot contain its infinite ardor. His charity for us cannot help but express itself in order to draw our hearts to have charity for him. And that is what the cross that rises up out of the Sacred Heart symbolizes. All his pains he suffered during his passion for us. Finally, surrounding his heart, the heart of our God, there is a wreath of thorns pricking it on all sides. Each thorn buried in his heart is a symbol of the sorrow that we cause him every time we sin. With each sin, it is like we take a thorn and we press this little blade into the heart of our God. This is because at each deliberate sin, we say to him, to the infinite God who created us and holds us in existence, to the divine Redeemer who died on the cross to save us, we say to him, I do not care about you. I care more for this thing, this person, this pleasure than you. He who has done so much for us, but see what return we make with so much indifference, ingratitude, and coldness. That, my dear faithful, does infinite violence to the heart of our God. And so, my dear faithful, we should have a holy, wholesome fear of the Lord. Fear offending our God. Fear sin because of the punishments that will be your just due for them. Fear the flames of hell and purgatory. But above all, fear offending God because of your love for him. Love our Lord and prove your love for him by obeying his laws. Keep the life of grace in your souls. And the first and most practical step to do this is to avoid the occasions of sin. Think over your life. See if there is some particular occasion that has led you into sin. Is there some particular person, place, or thing that provides the occasion for the sins that you have committed? Some form of entertainment, movies, television, music, the internet, or some place of entertainment? Or is it a friend? If there is anything that repeatedly leads you to grave sin, then please, God, turn from it. It must be cast out of your life. For remember that every mortal sin deserves punishment. Have a holy fear of that moment when you stand before the judgment seat of God to answer for your entire life. But remember as well the wounds our offenses have caused our God. Be instead a comfort to our Lord by striving to lead a good Catholic life, avoiding sin and its near occasions, and striving to practice virtue. Let God know that you, at least, my dear faithful, do love him and will lead your life for love of him. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.